You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Marlins spring training rolling along. Tim McMaster here, joined by our MLB.com Marlins reporter, Joe Fusaro. And Joe, while the Marlins are playing baseball, obviously up and around Jupiter, Florida, there is baseball being played in Miami at Marlins Park. So obviously we'll get to the Marlins in this podcast, but I wanted to start with the World Baseball Classic action that's been going on in Miami, because I know you haven't been at the games, Joe, but you've been in that ballpark, and you've covered this type of games. The Dominican Republic is there, Canada, the U.S., Colombia, and they've been sellouts, and the crowds have been electric. For people that haven't been in that ballpark and have an idea, just kind of explain the atmosphere that can be at Marlins Park.
Yeah, it's a giant fiesta, you know, basically. It's music nonstop. It's, you know, before you even get into the ballpark, there are fans out there not only just wearing the gear, face painting, you know, the colors of their flags, of their countries, and, you know, playing drums and horns are blowing, and just a lot of dancing and partying. From what I understand, the other night, from someone who was at the USA against the DR, when Cruz hit the three-run homer, in the promenade level of Marlins Park, they have the famous bobblehead museum. A friend of mine said that the Dominican fans actually did a dog pile right by there. You know, that's not crazy. You know, the fans are as much of a story, you know, at these events as the game itself. And clearly passion runs very high. And, you know, I talked to David Sampson the day after. I gave him a call, the Marlins president, and he was as happy as I've heard him in years. He said he watched the game with the commissioner that night, and they basically, Tim, in a nutshell, in terms of what the World Baseball Classic represents and what the league and what, you know, Miami was hoping to accomplish, and is just to really, you know, showcase baseball on a stage that, you know, we don't see every day, you know, at a big league ballpark. And that's, you know, to bring some flavor and some energy level that rivals kind of a concert.
Yeah, it's been absolutely incredible down there. And of all the World Baseball Classics we've seen, I think those games down there, because of the ballpark and the way that obviously there's a roof on top, it's really been incredible noise. And I know on the broadcast for MLB.com, Marlon Anderson actually said it's the loudest ballpark he had ever been in at any point in his career. So certainly pretty cool.
And I also want to touch, I know a lot of mentioning the DR, and to credit to their fans, who many are, you know, live in South Florida or made the trip from the DR, obviously knowing that these games are being played there. If Venezuela was there or Puerto Rico, it would have rivaled it. It would have been very similar. So it's not just a DR Miami story. It's pretty much any of those teams from the Caribbean that make their way over and play in South Florida. And, you know, I've covered the Classic every year, except, you know, in South Florida as well. And it's a similar vibe and atmosphere, but this one was just kind of off the charts.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to this Marlins team. And nothing super exciting going on for this team as spring training chugs along here, but some interesting stuff going on. One of those things is JT Realmuto getting his first chance at first base. And, Joe, it sounds like it's going to kind of work if he's going to be playing a little bit over at first base. He's picking it up quickly.
Yeah, and that's not surprising because JT is just an incredible athlete who happens to play catcher. He got drafted as a shortstop, although when they drafted him, they never intended for him to be an infielder. They even noted to him that they intended to immediately move him to catcher, which was important because as good an athlete as JT Realmuto is, the people down here know, but I'm not sure everyone's well aware, he had a scholarship opportunity for a quarterback at Oklahoma State University, his favorite school growing up in Oklahoma. So, you know, this kid, pretty much anything on a baseball field I think he can do. He's a kid who, when he was in high school, he would play shortstop and be the closer on this team, you know, when they were on their way going towards the state championship one year. So playing from first base, that's going well. But let's keep in mind it's going to kind of be like Buster Posey does it in San Francisco. It's not going to be an everyday thing in terms of left-handed pitchers on the mound. Justin Hoare sits and J.T. Realmuto goes and plays first base. I would anticipate, you know, everything going well, you know, 15 to 20 starts over there. But the key is keep his bat in the lineup and try to alleviate a little bit of the wear and tear of you know, being in a crouch and taking all the abuse you do catching in the big leagues.
Yeah, keep him fresh because certainly he's a guy who can contribute at the plate as well. And if he can stay a little fresher throughout the season, he'll only be that much better in that regard. Talking about the bullpen, and there's new pieces, obviously, this season with Ziegler and Tozawa being there. And so far, both those guys, Joe, have been pretty impressive.
Yeah, let's start with Tozawa, who has like three or four innings. You know, he's been out there in the games, and, you know, he's getting that fourth ball going, a huge pitch for him. And I anticipate him, you know, fitting into the seventh and eighth inning role. You know, probably getting some left-handers assignments because the Marlins are not really anticipating carrying the three left-handers or in terms of the traditional specialist. So, but any right-handers with the ability to get lefties out. So, you know, he's been out there and eager to get in the game. The other day was really, really effective against the Astros. And, you know, a team that he has seen from the, you know, playing in the, you know, when he was over, you know, in Boston. And one of his teammates, Josh Reddick, you know, he got to face him. But Ziegler is a little more interesting, Tim, because he's kind of been in hiding. You know, he's 37 years old. He's that submarine, sinkable style guy. He doesn't need a lot of innings. And they kind of mapped out, even when they signed him, that we weren't going to see him really in a great league game. So if you kind of looked at his line, you'd see one inning and one strikeout, and it was a clean inning, and you wonder, you know, what's going on. He's been facing minor leaguers in the backfield. So that's what was going on. But when he got out there for the first time against the Cardinals, very effective. And again, a guy who lives by deception and is not, you know, going to overdo it in great league games.
Don Mattingly has some decisions to make, but they don't seem like hard ones, Joe, when you talk about the starting rotation. It seems to make a lot of sense how it's going to pan out, especially with Jeff Locke seemingly not going to be ready for opening day. But Mattingly, at this point, not committing to anything as far as that rotation goes.
It kind of raises some questions if everyone's completely healthy. You know, we haven't seen in great league games Straley and Connolly for a while, but that kind of panned out because their scheduled day to pitch was on their off day a week ago, and they also, the time before, were piggybacking off each other, and they faced the Mets at St. Lucie in early, I think it was March 2nd or 3rd, and they were kind of lined up again to face the Mets in Port St. Lucie, and you know, the Marlins don't want either one of them to see the Mets. I mean, they're going to see them both when the season starts. So their work has been kind of going on in the backfield. But barring anything unforeseen health-wise, I think we kind of know how it's going to fall. This is kind of the order I think it will go. Because I think he'll try to break up the lefties. I think he would go Volquez, who's pitching for the Dominican Republic right now in the Classic. Followed by William Shin, and then, you know, probably Tom Kohler, a veteran guy in this rotation, and Connolly and Straley, and that's what just separates lefties, Shin and Connolly, mixes them in with the right-handers.
As for Locke, it's left biceps tendonitis. Where is he at right now? I know it's unlikely he'll be ready to go for opening day, but what is his current status?
It's throwing progression right now, a lot of that boring flat ground stuff, one day on, one day off, that type of thing. Hasn't really advanced much. Not paying a ton of attention to him because I kind of anticipate that's where he's going to, you know, he'll be starting probably going off the mound or seeing some type of simulated game action by the time we break camp in a few weeks. But, you know, the key with the Marlins and Jeff Locke is this guy is very valuable to them because he can start or relieve. And, you know, probably not, you know, I noted that they're going to have a lefty specialist. And even if he opened in the pen, which was probably the likely scenario, it wouldn't have been the go of the seventh inning against Bryce Harper. You know, it would have probably been a long relief type of situation. So the Marlins need him. They don't have a ton of starting pitching depth. And, you know, so they'd rather, You know, if they miss the first two, three weeks of April, they'll trade that off for a healthy five months to kind of wrap it up. So, again, they're confident it's not a serious thing. There's inflammation. But as you know, whenever there's setbacks to pitching in spring training, if it not to your week, 2 weeks, you're pretty much in danger of missing opening day. So, you know, that's where a lot stands right now.
One more thing for you, Joe. Friday was the first cuts of the spring. Any surprises in that mix of the guys that went back to the minor league camp?
No, not really. I mean, probably the guy most of note was Jake Esch, a right-hander who saw some big league time, made like three starts in September. That he goes down to New Orleans, you know, and starts there. And that was going to happen. But sometimes, you know, you get guys down there just to get their work in because, you know, they're clearly at South stage. They weren't going to make the team. You know, I'm sure from his standpoint, you would like to be, you know, in the mix a little bit more to compete for a roster spot, but you never know. You know, injuries do pop up. And, you know, if you're under Tom Mattingly's eye, you know, that only helps your cause. But he would be the closest. But, you know, everything else was kind of anticipated.
Great stuff, Joe. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.